We'll remain standing for our gospel reading, and Gina and Haley are going to come and help me read the gospel this morning. The gospel is taken from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, and I cannot remember the page number. It's on the bulletin. Where is it? Which page number? Matthew 21. Page 39. But do just listen as we go through. There's a part for you to join in a little bit later, and I shall introduce that little part, and the words should come up on the screen, okay? So, okay, let's start. Okay.
Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once."
This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden."
The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, and the words will appear for the congregation to join in, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. If you'd like to be seated. Thank you, Gina and Haley. The children staying in with us today, we're going to do things slightly different. I shan't be up there. She'll be down here. Sermon will be quite a bit shorter. And within our sermon spot time, we're going to commission and pray for our Sunday school and our teachers and the helpers and assistants. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we come to a very familiar story to many of us, would you give us ears to hear afresh what you want to say to us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today, Palm Sunday, we began our service with a procession. Churches do this all around the world. We've done it many, many times already just today, this morning, at St. Andrew's Cathedral. We have a procession, and with the children coming, waving their palm branches. So why do we do that? Why, children, do we wave the palm branches? Well, what we're doing, we're trying to reenact, recreate something of the first Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem. This was actually the last time that he was to come into Jerusalem. It's what we call the triumphant entry. And it was like a celebration that was going on, and it was growing and growing and growing. Jesus is being welcomed by the crowds. Now, at the cathedral here, when we came in, we actually did it very, very politely. We sang an old hymn that we know, and the children came in, not making a peep, actually. Very, very quiet. It was not like that on the first Palm Sunday. It was very, very, very noisy. People were cheering. People were shouting. In fact, the religious leaders told off the followers of Jesus for making so much noise. He said, be quiet. You're making too much noise. It was a time of celebration, and that's how we need to think about it. In fact, we just heard read in verse 10 how the whole of the city was stirred up. And the whole scene that we need to be thinking of is of thousands and thousands and thousands of people cheering in the streets. So there should be, I've missed a bit out. Let me come back. So they were cheering and cheering. It was like they were welcoming a hero. And in fact, they used to do this with the kings. Can we have the next picture, please? And then they had a hero just about 100 years before called Judas Maccabeus. And he was someone that came and brought an uprising from the, It was an uprising. And he came and brought a revolt against the Romans. And so this was a hero that they welcomed into the city. And they did it in exactly the same way. They waved palm branches and they called out, Hosanna, Hosanna, because Hosanna means save us, save us. And this is what they were doing when Jesus came in. So we're going to imagine a street full, a city full of people. Can you put the next picture up, please? This is modern Israel, where they also have Palm Sunday going. And you've got to imagine the streets full of thousands and thousands of people. And it's like welcoming a national hero, a homecoming hero. Now, we still do this sometimes with our own heroes, don't we? So the first one I thought of course, for Singapore was Joseph Schooling. He came back Olympic champion. And everybody here was so excited that he got the gold medal. But if you're Malaysian, perhaps you would get excited for Lee Chong Wei. He is a great badminton player. But he's not quite as good as Reverend Alvin, because Reverend Alvin is the champion badminton player of the clergy in diocese. Who are the heroes, who are the stars that you might cheer if they came into Singapore or your part of Singapore where you live? Maybe it would be K-pop band. I have no idea who they are, but maybe some of the younger ones do. Korean pop band. I don't know who you think of as your hero. My favorite triumphant homecoming of a team was in 2005 in England, where I'm from. After the greatest football match, soccer, when I say soccer, I actually mean football, proper soccer, proper football. Greatest match was played in Istanbul, Turkey. I was there. And this is when the greatest team came home. And here are the crowds. Now, anybody know where that is? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. That is Liverpool. So you can see the next picture. There's their bus. Champions of Europe, the best team ever. Did you know that once I was a very, very good footballer? In fact, I tried out for a semi-professional team and decided not to go for it. And as I was growing up, I had trophies, I had medals, I had shields, I had many of them. And I had them all lined up on the windowsill of my in my house, you know, showing them off. Everybody could see how many cups and shields I had won. And then I got married, and my wife tidied my house up. And you know what she did with all my medals and all my shields and all my trophies? She gave them to her little brother. She wasn't very impressed with all of my medals and all of my trophies. When I was 15, 16, I actually was a 200-meter sprinter, and I used to represent my school and my province. That was all a long, long, long time ago. And after all of that, I was never a superstar. Nobody cheered when I came home. Ah. I'm talking all about this because I want to introduce another one of my heroes, if you like. I'm going to show you a little video clip. One of the British athletes. His name is Derek Redmond. He was a 400-meter runner. Some of you might have seen this before, but there's still good lessons for us to learn in this. Derek Redmond ran his first competitive race at age 7, and he was always the best. At age 19, he broke the British record. At age 22, he qualified for the Olympics, 1998, in Seoul. His dream was to win the Olympics. 10 minutes before the first race, his injury came back and he couldn't start the race. Can you imagine? All of that time and he couldn't even start the race. But he was so determined to be an Olympic champion that he trained and he trained and he trained and he got stronger and he got stronger and he got stronger. By 1991, he had recovered and he remarkably led the British 4x400 relay team to a victory over the unbeatable Americans at that time. It was a great victory. So turn 1992, and he's getting ready for 1992 Barcelona Olympics. He is the favorite to win the medal. He is at top of his form, and he is very, very confident. So let's see what happens. There is no sound to this. You're going to listen to me. So you can imagine he's been planning for this since he was 7. And he gets a great start. And he actually is in the lead at this point. So they're about 150 meters. And then he heard a loud pop. And he actually thought somebody had shot him. And then he realized that was his hamstring, back of his leg, popped and broken. And he had to stop. Now, can you imagine how disappointed he was? After all the training, after all the hopes, after all the dreams, it's all come to a painful end. And all he can do is watch the other runners running ahead of him. And then as he's there, he realizes that the stretcher bearers are coming out to carry him off. And what comes into his head, and he talks about this, is there was no way that he was going to be carried off. And he even thought at this point that he could run and catch them up and even qualify somehow. This is a semi-final to qualify for the finals. And you see the pain that he's in. And he's getting faster and faster. And the crowds are cheering. In fact, these are the loudest cheers of the whole of that Olympic Games. And then suddenly, see this man coming out? That's his father. And his father came out of the crowd and actually said to him, "Son, you're in pain. You do not have to carry on." And what Derek said to him is, "I want to finish the race." And so his father said to him, "Okay, I'll finish with you. We'll do it together." And that's when he broke down. All his emotions came together. And he really didn't know what to do, but he just wanted to finish the race. And they kept trying to get him off the track, but he wouldn't stop. You can see his father consoles him. The crowds are cheering. And then suddenly you see him pointing. He's saying, "I want to finish in the right lane." He said, "Take me to lane number 5, which was the lane that he was in. And he crossed the finishing line. So Derek, you can turn it off now. He completed the race limping. No medal, no victorious Olympic champion, but a hero, I think, nonetheless. And you see, not everybody is a winner, are they? Not everybody wins. Not everything in our life goes the way that we want it to. And sometimes we have to limp, because sometimes in life things go wrong. And sometimes things hurt us. Maybe at school, maybe at home, maybe at work. We limp, don't we? But the good news is, and this is what we're remembering today and through Holy Week this coming week and through Easter weekend next weekend, we remember that God is with us, that He comes alongside us when we're limping, when we're hurting, and He walks with us and He sees us home. That is the gospel of Christ. And when we think about Jesus on the first Palm Sunday, first of all, He was welcomed as a hero. That's why we talked about heroes and cheering at the beginning. But He was not the sort of hero that the crowds really wanted or expected, because He came in humility. Remember, He came on a donkey. He didn't come as a warrior on a war horse. He wasn't the type of hero that they wanted, or many of them wanted. And so they were cheering, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and then very soon they were saying, "Crucify, crucify." And you see, for Jesus, the journey from Palm Sunday to the victory of the cross on Easter morning had to go through Calvary. Jesus had to experience the pain of the cross. He had to experience the agony of a terrible crucifixion. He experienced the weight of the sin, of all the bad things and all of the suffering in this world upon His own shoulders. You see, we follow a Savior who had to limp before He got to victory. And He had to show the greatest determination to complete His mission. So today on Palm Sunday, as we began, and it's right that we do, we praise Jesus, the Son of God. Hosanna in the highest. We welcome Him as our King. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. But we never, ever forget that He came humble on a donkey. He came as a suffering servant, as the prophets foretold. He came determined to count the cost, to finish the race that was set before Him by God the Father, to save the world that God loves so much. Hosanna in the highest. Let's just pause and pray for one moment. Lord, we do welcome You this morning amongst us as our King, as our Lord, and as our Savior, who has gone before us, who understands all of the bad things that can happen in our own lives. But we come knowing that He took those things to the cross and that He had the victory over them. So help us, Lord, to follow in the way that You call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a few minutes now to commission our children's teachers and leaders, the Sunday school teachers and leaders and helpers and assistants. So I'm going to ask them all to come out.